All right, so today we're diving deep into a Supreme Court case that really cuts to the core of some big questions. What does it actually mean to be a citizen? And how far can the government go in taking that citizenship away?
Yeah, it's a pretty fundamental concept, right?
Exactly. And the case we're looking at is Kennedy v. Mendoza-Martinez from 1963. This one really drew some bright lines in the sand about when a law crosses the line from just regulating something to actually punishing somebody and what kind of protection someone should have in that process.
I mean, have you ever thought about what it would actually take for the government to say, nope, you're not a citizen anymore?
Seriously, it almost seems unthinkable, but this case really wrestles with those heavy issues.
It does, and the whole story centers around a guy named Francisco Mendoza Martinez. He was actually a dual citizen of the U.S. and Mexico, born right here in the States back in 1922.
Okay, so dual citizenship, born in the US, but the case is about losing that US citizenship, right?
You got it. And the turning point in his story takes place during World War II. It's 1942, and he's facing the draft, you know, being called up to serve in the military.
Right, World War II, huge global conflict.
Absolutely. So what does Mendoza Martinez do? He decides to head down to Mexico.
So he leaves the US to avoid the draft. I mean, that's a big decision with some potentially serious consequences.
Definitely. He stays in Mexico for a while, but then he comes back to the U.S. in 1946.
What happens when he comes back? I mean, he left to avoid serving in the military during wartime.
Well, when he gets back, he's actually prosecuted for draft evasion. Not only that, he's convicted and ends up spending a year and a day in prison.
Wow, so he does some serious time for that decision. You'd think that would be the end of it, right? He served his sentence.
You might think so, but here's where things get even more interesting. Fast forward to 1953, and the government decides to try and deport him.
Deport him. On what grounds? He was born in the US.
That's the twist. They're basing this deportation attempt on a specific part of the Nationality Act of 1940, Section 401J to be exact.
All right, so Section 401J, this is where things get legally complicated. What did that section of the law actually say?
This is the part that really gets to the heart of the case. That section basically said that if someone left or stayed outside of the U.S. to dodge military service, they'd automatically lose their U.S. citizenship.
Wait, automatically, like just like that. No trial, no hearing, nothing.
That's exactly what the law said. Poof, citizenship gone, just based on this one action.
That's a huge deal. To lose something as fundamental as your citizenship without even having a chance to make your case in court, that seems incredibly unfair.
That's what Mendoza Martinez argued. And that brings us to the core legal issue in the case. Did Congress even have the power to just strip someone's citizenship like that without any kind of trial or due process? I mean, isn't due process a pretty basic right?
It definitely seems like a cornerstone of our legal system. So, what did the Supreme Court decide?
They went right to the heart of the matter. The court said, nope, Congress doesn't have that power. They ruled that Section 401J of that Nationality Act was unconstitutional.
Unconstitutional, a big win for Mendoza Martinez.
It was a landmark decision written by Justice Goldberg for the majority of the court.
All right, so the court strikes down this law. What was their reasoning? Why did they see this automatic loss of citizenship as violating the Constitution?
It boils down to this. The court said that in its essence, this law was really about punishment. It wasn't just some neutral rule about who gets to be a citizen. They saw it as punishment for the act of draft evasion. And because it was punishment, it couldn't be applied without all those procedural protections that we expect, you know, like the right to a fair trial, which we find in the Fifth and Sixth Amendments.
That makes sense. You can't just punish someone without going through the proper legal channels. But how did the court determine that it was actually punishment? Losing your citizenship, you could argue that's just losing a benefit, right?
Yeah.
Where do you draw that line between regulation and something being punitive?
That's the million-dollar question. And it gets us to what's known as the Mendoza-Martinez test. Justice Goldberg actually laid out seven specific factors that courts should use to figure out if a law is really a punishment in disguise.
All right, so a seven-factor test. Let's break that down. What's the first thing on the list?
First up, they look at whether the consequence, the sanction as they call it, involves an affirmative disability or restraint. Basically, does it take away something important or limit your freedom in some way?
Okay, and losing your citizenship, that definitely fits that bill, right? It would impact so many areas of your life.
Exactly. And the court recognized that. They saw loss of citizenship as a severe disability, impacting things like your right to vote, your ability to hold certain jobs, even your ability to travel freely.
It's like hitting a giant reset button on your life on so many levels. What's the second factor in the test?
Second, they look at whether the thing being done to you, the sanction, has historically been viewed as a form of punishment.
Okay, so looking back in time, what kind of historical parallels did they find?
They pointed to exile, being banished from your community or your country. Throughout history, that's been a pretty serious punishment.
Yeah, being cut off from your home, from everything you know, it's definitely got that feeling of punishment.
And the court saw stripping away citizenship as having a similar effect. It's like being cut off from your nation, from belonging.
So historical precedent plays a role in determining if something is truly punitive. What was the third thing the court looked at?
The third factor gets a bit into legal jargon. Scienter.
Scienter, that's one of those lawyer words. What does it really mean?
Basically, it boils down to intent. Did the person know what they were doing and intend to do it? In this case, Section 401J, the law in question specifically targeted people who left or stayed abroad with the intent to avoid the draft. So it wasn't just being out of the country, it was about intentionally dodging military service.
So that element of intention, of knowingly doing something to avoid a specific consequence, that points towards punishment, right?
Exactly. It suggests the law was meant to punish a specific choice.
All right, what's next on this list? Factor number four.
This one is about whether the law's effect lines up with the traditional goals of punishment, which are retribution and deterrence.
So retribution, meaning like an eye for an eye, making someone pay for what they did, and deterrence, meaning to scare other people off from doing the same thing.
That's the gist of it. And the court felt that taking away someone's citizenship for draft evasion did both of those things. It was a way of saying, this is what happens if you dodge the draft, and hopefully scaring others off from doing it too.
It's like a double whammy, punishment for the individual and a warning to others. What about the fifth factor?
The fifth one focuses on whether the behavior that's being punished is already a crime.
Okay, so was draft evasion already illegal in this situation?
Absolutely. It was already a criminal offense. Remember, Mendoza-Martinez was actually convicted and served time for that crime.
Right.
So the court was looking at the fact that Congress had already made draft evasion a crime, and we're now piling on this extra punishment of taking away citizenship. That really made it look like they were going overboard with the punishment aspect.
Yeah, like they were trying to punish the guy twice for the same thing. It definitely raises questions about the intent behind the law. What was the sixth factor the court considered?
This one is a bit more nuanced. They looked at whether there was any other possible purpose for the law besides punishment.
Okay, so was there any other justification being offered?
Well, Congress tried to argue that taking away citizenship in this case served a national security purpose. They were basically saying, look, we need to be able to punish people who abandon the country during wartime.
A national security justification, that sounds pretty serious.
It does, but the court wasn't convinced. They basically said, even if you can point to some other goal, if the law's main impact and purpose is about punishment, then you can't just ignore those basic constitutional rights.
So national security wasn't enough to outweigh the fact that this law felt like a punishment being doled out without due process. All right, that brings us to the seventh and final factor. What was it?
This one was about proportionality. They asked whether the punishment was excessive compared to that other purpose, the national security goal that Congress had mentioned. And the court felt that automatically revoking someone's citizenship, which remember Justice Goldberg called a most precious right, was just way too harsh a response, especially when you consider that draft evasion was already a crime with its own separate set of penalties.
So the punishment didn't fit the crime, even considering the national security angle. You mentioned that Justice Goldberg called citizenship a most precious right. Can you talk a bit more about what that means in the context of this case?
That phrase really gets to the core of how the court viewed citizenship in Mendoza-Martinez. They weren't treating it as just some legal status like having a driver's license. They saw it as fundamental to who a person is, to their sense of belonging in this country.
It's like saying citizenship is part of your identity, part of your connection to the nation.
Exactly. And because of that, the court said the government can't just yank it away without a very good reason and without going through all the proper legal procedures.
So taking away citizenship is a huge deal. It's not something to be done lightly or without serious justification. You also mentioned earlier that there was a companion case to Mendoza-Martinez, Court v. Dulles. What was going on in that case?
Court v. Dulles is super interesting. It dealt with a similar provision in a different law. This time it was the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952. The situation involved a U.S. citizen named Court who stayed abroad after he got his draft notices.
So another case about avoiding the draft by staying out of the country.
Yeah, but Court argued that he was afraid of being persecuted if he came back to the U.S. Later on, he applied for a passport, but the government said, nope, you lost your citizenship because you stayed abroad to avoid the draft.
Another case of automatic loss of citizenship.
You got it. And the Supreme Court, using the same logic as in Mendoza-Martinez, said this was also unconstitutional.
So two strikes against automatically taking away citizenship for draft evasion. Both times the court emphasized due process. This all went down in the 1960s, so why does this case still matter today? Why should law students and anyone interested in legal issues care about Mendoza-Martinez?
Well, for one, it established a really important precedent. It cemented the idea that citizenship is a fundamental right, not something the government can just erase on a whim.
So it's a powerful defense of individual rights against government overreach.
Definitely. But there's more. Remember that seven-factor test we talked about? That's not just some historical relic. Courts still use that framework all the time to figure out whether a law is actually a hidden punishment. It comes up in cases about things like sex offender registries, civil forfeiture, all sorts of situations where the line between regulation and punishment gets blurry.
So this test for Mendoza-Martinez is still being applied to very current legal issues.
Absolutely. It's got some serious staying power. It helps make sure that even if the government tries to dress up a punishment as something else, they still have to follow the rules, respect people's rights.
It's like a safeguard against sneaky punishments, making sure the government doesn't try to pull a fast one.
You could say that.
Yeah.
And lastly, Mendoza-Martinez serves as a reminder. It tells us that even when things are tense, even during wartime, you can't just ignore people's basic rights.
So it's a lesson about the importance of due process, even in difficult times.
Exactly. The Constitution sets limits on what the government can do, and those limits matter, even in a crisis. You mentioned that there were some dissenting opinions in this case.
Right. We don't have a ton of detail in our sources, but can you speculate on what those dissenting judges might have argued?
It's always hard to say for sure without seeing their full opinions, but it's likely they would have argued that Congress has more power, especially when it comes to things like national security and the duties of citizens. They might have seen dodging the draft as a really big deal, a betrayal of your responsibilities as a citizen, and felt the government should have more leeway to respond to that.
So, a difference of opinion on the balance between individual rights and government power, especially during times of war.
Yeah, it's a tension that comes up a lot in constitutional law, that push and pull between what the government can do and what individuals are protected from.
It seems like that's what Mendoza-Martinez really boiled down to. It's a strong statement that citizenship is this core right, and if the government wants to take it away as a punishment, they got to play by the rules, follow the Constitution, make sure there's due process.
That's the essence of it. It sets up a really important boundary, a protection against arbitrary government action.
So as you're thinking about this case, ask yourself, what does it mean for a right to be so important, so fundamental, that even during war, you can't just ignore certain protections?
Right, and how does that principle, that idea of distinguishing between punishment and regulation and the need for due process, how does that play out in other areas of the law?
It's a question that has ripple effects across so many different legal issues. You also mentioned a related case, Trump v. Dulles.
Oh, yeah, that one's a classic, too. It also dealt with losing citizenship as a punishment. Definitely worth checking out if you're interested in this area of law.
So, Kennedy v. Mendoza-Martinez, it's a landmark case that highlights this constant tension between the power of the government and the rights of the individual, especially when it comes to something as essential as citizenship.
It really makes you think about the foundations of our legal system and the values that are supposed to guide it.
Absolutely. It's a case that keeps those questions alive, and that's why it's still so relevant today. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.